So, welcome to Cabin Community Radio. And this is Ruben Gonzalez. Don't be so nervous. We've got Harriet in the studio today and Taiwo. Sorry about his name again.
Thank you, guys. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Harriet.
Good evening, Taiwo. How's it going?
Fine, thanks. How's it going with you?
It's not bad. Thought we would introduce this week's program as a kind of International Women's Day special, as you should all know. Monday was International Women's Day, where we were fighting for equality in the streets.
Oh, brilliant. How did that go then?
That was pretty good. Were you doing any fighting for equality in the streets, Taiwo?
Unfortunately not. Being a man, but I do understand how hard it is to be a woman. I mean, I've heard that song, What It's Like to Be a Woman. What It's Like to Be a Girl, sorry, by Madonna, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and it gives you an insight into the life of a lady.
Absolutely, it gives you an insight. And, you know, I'm aware, you know. But no, I wasn't on the march, I'm afraid.
Yeah, because I was just telling Taiwo, I went down on Saturday to the Million Women Rise March, which happened between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, marched from a Hyde Park corner to Trafalgar Square. Okay. And it was amazing. It was a brilliant kind of representation of women talking about what they do every day in their lives to fight inequality. And they, I don't think they quite had a million women there. They maybe had 1,000.
Okay, but that's still good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. And they had an amazing woman called Kath Elliott who spoke, and she was from the trade union Unison. And she mentioned that two-thirds of the members of Unison are actually women, making it the biggest organisation representing women in the whole of Western Europe, which was pretty incredible.
Okay.
And she spoke about the work she does as a trade unionist to fight for women's equality, and she talked about how she's campaigned to end violence against women her whole life, and how she had a terrible thing happen to her where her daughter was beaten up by a man in a library 5 years ago, and the pain she felt when that happened to her, and the support she tried to give her daughter, and how she felt like a failure because she hadn't been able to stop it. But she said she's one person, she couldn't have stopped it on her own, and a rallying cry to all, you know, women and men out there to try and end violence against women. And it was really encouraging. It was a great day for everyone.
Wow. Was there anyone watching though when her daughter was getting beaten up?
I don't quite know. I think maybe she was in a library. I don't know if she was there on her own.
Could you be there? There must have been somebody there, though.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure. It sounded like it was quite rough, to be honest. I know.
It's terrible.
Absolutely atrocious.
So, are we going to go put about the Working Men's College on? Or
yep, we'll go for that next. Les and myself went down on Monday, which was International Women's Day, to the Working Men's College in Camden to talk to them, because they had put on a special exhibition to celebrate unconventional and aspiring women. And the first person we spoke to was Apu, and she is the welfare officer, and she looks after the students there. And she talked to me about the Working Men's College, its history, and...
I'm Apu Samadar. I've been in this college for some time. I'm the welfare advisor and the learning support tutor, and I've taught other subject areas as well. I've been here for some time. As regards the college, it is one of the most important places of education in the whole of this country. The reason being, it was set up by William Morris and the other socialists and the thinkers of the time. So the great history of that, it was 1854 that it was started, and of course it was just a group of people coming after work. It was basically a working men's college for that reason. Students came and teachers taught with no remuneration. It was a very small group, and then of course it was turned into a trusteeship, and later on it sort of became more and more a venue for adult education in the true sense of the term, and today it is thriving. It does cater to the public of this area, to the industry that is coming out as well in this area, as well as to the people who are coming from so many different parts of the world. And it is an honor to be a part of it in whatever way. So I think that is Working Men's College for
and
women and men.
Today being International Women's Day, can you talk a bit about how the Working Men's College is now integrated with the Working Women's College? And
that's right. There was a Working Women's College in the South some years ago, and this was a Working Men's College. Of course, now we can say that we have changed the boundaries as such. It's not only the men, it's also the women who are actually coming forward. It is really good to see the liberation of women coming in so many ways and from so many angles, and sort of making the most of this college and making it sort of thrive. And I think today being an International Day for Women, it is an honor to be again celebrating all the women who have done so much throughout the world, and particularly in this college as well. There were so many of them here. I think it is a great honor to be.
So after we spoke to Apu, we spoke to Irina, who was organizing the whole exhibition, and she told us about the idea for the exhibition and what it was achieving.
So today is International Women's Day, and here in the Working Men's College, you've got an exhibition on. So would you like to tell me what you do and how you've been involved in this?
Hello, my name is Irina Stanova, and I'm Head of Student Support at the Working Men's College. This is the second year where we celebrate International Women's Day at such a scale. Last year, for the first time last year, we did a competition to involve all students in the college, and what they had to do is present a piece of work. It could have been a piece of writing, a poem, a song, or maybe a performance, or a piece of art, in which they express how they feel about a woman. It can be a woman who has inspired them. This year in particular, we focused, the focus of the competition was unconventional women, a woman who has inspired us in some way, but a woman who is not afraid to be different. And what we did, we invited all students in the college to present a piece of work, and it's going to be judged. There will be several prizes, there will be several runners-up prizes, and so far we've heard so many good reviews from students.
And next we spoke to Margaret, who is a student at the Working Men's College, and she introduced us to her work, which she'd submitted for the competition.
So here I am with Margaret, who's produced some wonderful work about some Japanese poets and some English authors. And tell me a bit about, first of all, this Japanese work you've done.
What I wanted to do was to introduce two unknown women to the West, but whose work basically hasn't been translated into English. And I wanted to convey their spirit, in this lady's case, Kimiko Takano, through her poetry, and Miura Ayako's work through her writings, novelist. In the case of Kimiko Takano, born in 1919, she reveals something of the period, say 1930s, 1937, when arranged marriages were the norm. Women didn't have the choice of whom to marry. And her poetry brings forth the suffering that women at that stage, in that time of history, would have felt. Very inspirational, beautiful poetry. And Miura Ayako, who was in bed for, couldn't turn over for 13 years, had to be helped to turn over with TB. And from that experience, not knowing whether or not she was going to get better, actually, from when she did become better, she wrote award-winning novels based basically on fact that won awards and were extremely inspirational for people. Unfortunately, a lot of her work hasn't been translated yet. Beautiful writer. All about how to overcome difficulties on a day-to-day level that we all feel, you know. So very helpful in a practical way as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then this is your work on the some English women authors. You've got Georgia and Jane Austen. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
And Beatrix Potter. Whom I feel tie in with these writers. What I wanted to bring forth here is, for example, in the case of Jane Austen, not something that we see, not a taken-for-granted image of her that is shown through films, but something much more of her essential self. And what is it then about Jane Austen that perhaps is essential and what makes her classical? I think it's the questions that she asks us all and how she requires more of ourselves as women. What are the key points then for me, I think? How do we love? How do we love one another? Not only the man that we might choose, but the wider community, our family, our sisters. How do we help one another? And how do we get away from a profit and loss mentality? And then also, I think she asks questions about how do we judge people? How do we assess them? Do we assess them just on what other people are thinking? Or do we assess them on what we believe in, not based on wealth, power, politics? So I try to bring that forth, not using a computer, handwritten and drawing.
And they're beautiful drawings. They're wonderful. So these are all women for you that are unconventional and inspirational.
Yeah, and I think not only through their writings, but the way they conducted their life. I mean, the case of Beatrix Potter, it wasn't only the writing, she was a conversationalist and a naturalist as well, but she donated her money through buying property in the Lake District for the National Trust, so we can enjoy it all now. Mm-hmm. So these are women that had an awful lot of courage, I think, for their generation, and they required a lot of themselves, and I think we need to require a lot of ourselves too.
And then we spoke to Rita, who is an art student at the Working Men's College, and she introduced us to her rather interesting individual piece of artwork.
So here I am with Rita, who's another student, and she's made a beautiful sculpture of a woman's head and are these some wings here?
No, that's a vagina.
That's a vagina. Okay, brilliant. Yeah. All right, tell me a bit more about the work then and the inspiration behind it.
Well, the inspiration behind it. Basically, this was just a transcription project. This was my translation of The Virgin in Prayer. It's a Renaissance painting. And basically, my translation was Let There Be Light, because the painting is all light and dark. So I just decided to make a sculpture of the actual painting, contemporary version, and put light in it. Mm-hmm. And then I thought I will do the Virgin Mary sort of thing. So basically there's a relationship, but she's pure. But this one isn't so pure, but it's the same context. I don't know. I'm not very good at explaining myself. I'm just new to all this, but...
Yeah. So how long have you been a student here?
Just about 4 months now.
And you study?
Foundation degree.
Degree in art. Okay, brilliant. And so these are made of, what are they made of, the materials?
Canvas, this was made, sanitary towels.
Oh, really?
And yeah, cotton wool, yeah. And it's an actual lamp.
Yeah, I can see that. So it's beautifully illuminated from inside, so you can really, really see the light coming out.
Yeah, it's all raw, it's all pure.
So it's all an exploration of kind of femininity and what it means to be a woman.
Yes, exactly. And but then I decided to push it even further. I decided to take this on the underground and film people's reaction, and that's the video over there.
Okay, right.
Of the giant vagina.
So you've got the giant vagina on the underground. And what were people's reactions?
Shock, some laughter, like that gentleman there's laughing. Just funny looks, basically. One late lady asked her child not to look, like, to turn away. Yeah. So that was interesting. And apparently it's been blocked in 3 countries, the video.
The video's been blocked in 3 countries.
Yeah.
So have you put it
on YouTube?
And,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's an interesting observation.
Okay, yeah. So to kind of explore how people react to, like, women's bodies now and how...
Yeah, but most of them look disgusted, but they don't realise that we're all from that. We're all from a vagina, whether we like it or not. And you cannot dislike it because you're not liking yourself.
Yeah.
I just wanted to just see... It was just a random idea and I just went for it, and that's it, really.
Prayer to the goddess of spring, Kimiko Takano, poetess. Cherry blossoms blowing in the gentle breeze. Cherry blossoms blowing in the gentle breeze, falling and scattering like the sigh of a spring goddess. Love not knowing its outcome, cast to the wind, uncertain.
Hana fubuki.春は女神のため息に散るゆく恋の居ず方もなく
Cherry blossoms blowing in the gentle breeze. I hope and wish they fall like the spirit of my love on my beloved. Even though my love feels it has no hope, I still love you wholeheartedly.
花吹雪君が肩へに降り注げあまりに寂しい恋をせしゆえ
Cherry blossoms blowing in the gentle breeze. If by chance we can meet again one day. Cherry blossoms blowing in the gentle breeze. Please carry your beautiful fragrance to us as a memory of our love.
花吹雪いつか愛見る日のあらばゆかしく匂え思い出のため
And that was Margaret and her friend June reciting some beautiful Japanese poetry for us to celebrate International Women's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Taiwo, do you have some football knowledge to give us?
Absolutely. Well, it's been an interesting week for Arsenal FC, in the fact that last week we played Burnley in the Premier League and we beat them 3-1. But the main story was, apart from us winning, was the goals, in the fact that we should have won about 10-1. I was lucky enough to go to the game and I was sitting right next to the Burnley fan, so that was fun and interesting. We did win 3-1. Cesc Fabregas, our inspirational Spanish captain, scored the first goal. He nutmegged Burnley's goalkeeper, Brian Jensen, after a great ball from Samir Nasri. But then, unfortunately, he went off injured. This was after about 35 minutes. And after that, the reason why I'm saying it was more of a story because Nicholas Bentner missed about 4 open goals. You know,
that's absolutely not very good.
No, it wasn't very good. But to be fair to him, he did create the second goal for Theo Walcott, who's actually English, one of our few. Well, we've got a few English players, but you know, one of the main ones in the first team. You know, and he scored the second fantastic goal, and then Andre Ashavin scored our third. But Nicholas Bender, that has got a lot of stick, which you can understand. But I think it was a bit unfair. The sticky goal, even so much so, if I'm allowed to say, I was watching Goals on Sunday on Sky Sports 1, and Ian Payne was on there with the Burnley manager who we played, and he said to him, which I think was wrong, and I think was out of order, would you have Nicholas Bentner on your team? And Brian Law said he was our best player, and they were laughing about it, which I think was wrong. So much so that up to date now, we actually beat FC Porto on Wednesday 5-0. And with Sod's Law being as it is, Nicholas actually scored a hat-trick. And after the game, he refused to talk to the English press, which I think is absolutely fantastic, because they were really slagging him off, you know. They're really slagging him off.
He stuck it to them.
He stuck it to them, but they still had... I was watching Sky Sports this morning, and Darren Lewis, who is a journalist for, I think it's Daily Mirror, was saying how Ian Lawton, I think it was, had an interview saying that Nicholas was saying, oh, he's going to be the best striker at the World Cup, and how he's going to do this, and how he's going to do that, and that he should really tone it down. But he didn't actually get the interview. This is what he got from Danish journalists. So, you know, how credible is that? It's funny, really, you know. Yeah, we thrashed Porto 5-0, so we're quite happy. And also, our ladies played yesterday. They played...
The ladies, hear it for the ladies.
Absolutely. Who are doing absolutely fantastic. They played FCR Duisburg yesterday in a away leg, and they lost 2-1. But they were 2-0 down, and Kim Little, who was our top goal scorer, Scottish striker, she's absolutely fantastic. She scored more than 17 goals already this season. Had a free kick that got deflected in. So that gave us a bit of a lifeline. And funny enough, they are playing this Sunday at Bishop Stortford. And I'm sure you're going to talk about this, Harriet. It's Mother's Day, obviously, as people are aware. And they're doing a Mother's Day special. This is free advertising for Arsenal ladies. So if anyone can hear me, I expect to get in for nothing now for the whole of the season. And beyond. But anyway... It is, apparently, it's at Bishop Stortford, so if you can get down there, any child going with their mother, the mum will get in free. And that's what they're doing.
That ain't bad.
No, that's not bad at all. And it's at 1 o'clock at Bishop Stortford ground. Arsenal Ladies FC versus FCR Duisburg from Germany.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
So next we are going to have a young lady by the name of Laura Victoria, and it is a song by her called A Cup of Tea, and it sounds like it's going to be lovely.
I'm sitting in the bar with a glass of wine. The music's playing loud and I'm having a good time, but there's somewhere that I'd rather be. I just want to go home and have a cup of tea. What's wrong with me? Am I the youth of today? Am I wasting the best years of my life away? It's like I'm in the over 60s. All I really want is a cup of tea. A cup of tea. I could go out tonight, but I just can't be bothered to face the bright light. I know I just sit there staring at my D&D, thinking all I really want is a cup of tea. A cup of tea. Peppermint, Earl Grey, rooibos or normal. Drink it from burnt china if the occasion is formal. Tea in the cafe, tea in the street. Tea in the garden, tea to take away. Tea in the morning, tea in the night. Tea in the afternoon, tea at the Ritz. Yes, well, quite. I get myself all dressed up and I head out to the town. I go out drinking and dancing, but I so cozy, tea out of the pot. Tea is just so warming, tea is just so hot. I want a cup of tea. I want a cup of tea.
was Laura Victoria.
Gloria.
Okay, and next of all, we have a little bit of exercise for you, I suppose. I went to talk to some people who are incredibly into exercise, and this really is what they had to say for themselves.
Yeah, it's good. It's a really important part of my life. I love it.
Well, they certainly sound very positive. What exactly is it that these people love so much?
I love to come running on the heath.
Yes, it seems that for some people there is nothing quite as exhilarating as a bit of exercise on Hampstead Heath. Except, this isn't really your everyday jog around the park. These people are all gathered together on a cold and rainy Saturday morning because they are part of the craze for BMF, British Military Fitness. The idea is that if you really want to get fit, then what you need is a bit of army-style training. The company was founded in 1999 by ex-Army Major Robin Cope, and it employs serving or former members of the armed forces to deliver fitness training sessions to those of us who need a little extra help getting motivated. The Hampstead Heath team leader, Ian Finch, told me how it works.
Well, basically what we do is we split it down to three fitness levels. So we have a blue group, a red group, a green group. Each colour group is respective of fitness levels. And the blue group is for new trialists and the beginners, people working on their fitness. The red group is for the intermediates, people who've been here a good amount of time, but they're still really just trying to work on things. And the greens are the guys who've been here a while and the class is quite fit. And then we have an instructor per group, and then we take them around the respective park where they're at. And we give them lots of exercises, lots of fun stuff, lots of hard stuff, challenging, push them out of their comfort zone, but at the same time making it really fun.
So while it might sound like something that only masochists and exercise junkies would be tempted by, the sessions are designed for people of all abilities, with room to move up the ranks into a red or green bib as you get fitter and want to push yourself further. For some of those who I spoke to, perhaps the ones that have earned green bib status, BMF is an ongoing passion and a commitment that lasts for several years. For others, it is simply the best way to ensure that you actually stick to that resolution to get fit and healthy.
Basically, I just want to get fit, and I just think I'm not very good at motivating myself to do it, so it's a good way of other people telling me.
And what is more, it does seem to actually work.
I just noticed a real improvement. I didn't do any exercise before I started at all, and for about 10 years I didn't do anything. And within a few weeks I was looking better and feeling better, and I had a little break over Christmas, but I can see doing it all the time, so it's brilliant.
Well, the overall impression that I got from the people I spoke to was that BMF is a great way to meet new people, spend some seriously strenuous time with them, and make getting fit a bit more fun.
Everyone's in the same boat, everyone's working as a team. It is really challenging, but I don't know really, it's just one of those things where you go there, you meet people, and it's just an hour out of your day, that's all it is, all weathers, and it's just fun.
It's really good to get outside and it's much better than being in the gym. Much more sociable.
BMF already has a large following in parks up and down the country, and it's easy to join as the introductory sessions for first-timers are completely free. From there on, however, the London classes are a not-so-cheap £36 a session, or £120 per 10 sessions. But if you, like many others, are already paying through the teeth to use a sweaty, noisy indoor gym, maybe it's time for a change of scenery.
Yes, that was about gyms then, eh?
Not really gyms, about exercising the great outdoors, Les. Different thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Army-style, serious military training. No messing around.
Okay, we're going to finish off now, and we're going to finish off with a bit of music at the end. It's going to be Nicholas Williams. He's from Canada, and it's...
That was Nicholas Williams. This is Camden Community Radio. Good night.